Well, good morning, CLCC. How are y'all this morning? Good, good, good. So good. All right. Come on, Jack. Let's go. It's good stuff. So let's start with a word of prayer. Then we'll do Facebook and that fun thing. And then we'll get into what the Lord wants to share. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you right now for what you're doing in this house, Father. That you are good. You're so good, Father. And that you never fail, Father. You never leave us nor forsake us, Father. You said that there would be troubles, there would be tribulations, there would be times, Father, that we'd have to go through. There would be storms, Father. But, Father, when we build our house on the rock, which is you, the storms will come, the winds will blow, but we will not be shaken. We're so thankful for what you're doing in us, to us, and through us, Father. Lord, let us take this deposit today. Take this golden nugget. Take this revelations and illuminations, Father. Take all the things that you're sharing with us today, Father, and fill us to overflowing that we may be able to share with others in our areas of influence and to those in need. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, let's get Facebook started here. Go live. We're going to be live. 3, 2, 1. Well, welcome, Facebook friends and more friends is what I got to say. So we're so happy that you could join us on Facebook. Please, we love to have you at our church here on the Rittner. It starts at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And just come on out. It's a good time and you can be a part of the family. So I have to do this. I want to give honor where honor is due. And I would like to honor Sharon and Diane and Pastor Steph for what they did this week. And I really appreciate it, what you guys did. So thank you so much for that. For some of you, you might be like, well, what did they do? So we had a gentleman that was traveling that was walking up through this area with a cart, and he was raising awareness for mental health as well as suicide awareness. And so he was walking pretty good ways and things like that. He stopped here. He spent the night here. He was having some pains and some troubles that was going on with him. Diane and Sharon helped him through that whole process, and Suzanne as well, correct? Justina, okay, I'm sorry. So it was a great way of just showing how much we care to people that are in need. And he wasn't in need, and then he was in need very quickly. And so they were able to get him to the hospital where he got what he needed from there. And he's safely recovering. He's back at home. And so we're just thankful that the Lord allowed us to help. And I'm so happy and so thankful at this group, at this church, because that's what we do. When someone's in need, someone that needs help, someone that's on their journey, that they can stop here at this place and know it's a safe place where we can help them both physically and spiritually. So I want to say thank you so much for helping out with that. I really do appreciate it. And it's an awesome testimony of what we do as a church. And it's funny that that happens, because guess what I'm going to preach on this morning? The Good Samaritan. I was like, wow, Lord, what an example of what was going to happen. So if you turn with me to Luke 10:25. And I was like, wow, what an example of the Good Samaritan here at CLCC. I thought it was awesome. So we're going to start in verse 25. And I'm just going to read for a few minutes. And I was praying about this, and I'm like, Lord, that's so funny how you make certain life events coincide with what you're speaking. Isn't it kind of funny how he does that? You know, let me tell you a little secret. And it may not be a secret for some, but some of it maybe. Do you know what happens when you preach? If you get up here at this pulpit and you preach, do you realize that the Lord will bring you through whatever you're talking about that week? That's what he does. So all these sermons that we get from Brother Mike, from Pastor Steve, from Pastor Kurt, Pastor Steph, and anybody else who stands in the pulpit, we have been going through this whole week normally. Or God's been showing these things to us. And we've been just downloading it and downloading it and downloading it. So that we're ready to give it. It's not like we're giving you something we haven't experienced either. God is really showing himself. So that way we can give it, be a conduit to you guys. That way we can give it fresh to you guys, because that's what he wants to say today. Amen? So if you didn't know that, little secret. So whenever you're speaking, or whenever someone asks you to speak, and you're like, all right, God, what do you want to do? He's going to do something good in you. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of speaking. But God wants to do some good things in you to help you help others on their journey with him. Amen? All right, so I'm just going to start reading. So on one occasion, an expert in the law stood to test Jesus. I love how they say test Jesus. Don't they test Jesus a lot? Do you think Jesus would be tired of their testing? Do you think he would be? I know I would be, but he's so gracious. I'll tell you what, he is so gracious, even to these guys. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to testify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked by robbers, then stripped him of all his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going by the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Come on. And I love that Jesus uses this teaching in a few different ways. I mean, we can definitely read it for what it is, which is awesome. But we can also read it as, hey, you know, this guy was trying to, you know, test Jesus, and yet Jesus, of course, passes with flying colors every time. But the one thing that the Lord really stuck out in my mind, or really highlighted, was the expert in the law's reply. And it was interesting. And he says, the one who had mercy on him. And I was like, wow. That was a very interesting reply. The one who had mercy on him. And then I started thinking and praying about that. Mercy. You know, mercy is something that happens. If there's something done, there's mercy shown. So let me give you an example of mercy. So say, let's see, who am I going to pick on today? I don't know. I like to pick on certain people, but you're not supposed to pick on people. So I'll pick, you're okay with that, Mike? Are you sure? All right, I'll go with Mike because there's 2 mics back there. There's actually 3 mics in the room, so they don't know which one I'm talking about. So if it's, they can say, oh, that wasn't me, that was the other Mike. So they can say that. So we're going to pick on Mike, quote unquote Mike, whichever Mike it is. So Mike is late for work. And he's got to get to work in 5 minutes, but it takes 10 minutes to get there. So he is going to speed. What do you speed in the air? You got to do that. So he's going to get in his car. He is going to speed down the highway. He's going to speed down the Ritner as fast as he can go He's going 90 miles an hour. Okay, so he's going pretty fast, which the speed limit's 55. Okay, just for clarity. So then Mike looks at his back, his rearview mirror, and he sees flashing lights. How many of you like to see flashing lights in your back rear mirror? Do you, anybody? No, I didn't think so. I don't either. So he sees flashing lights, and he's like, uh-oh. And then he sees the cop car. He's like, oh, no. Oh, no. And he knows he's the one that's caught. He knows that. So he gets the cop car comes right behind him. He's like, yep, I got to pull over. So he pulls over. The cop car pulls up behind him. The cop gets out. He's like, license and registration. Mike pleads his case. I'm just late. I'm sorry. I was just late. I overslept. And so then the cop, in mercy, says, hey, I'll give you a warning this time. That's mercy. Because what that cop could do or should do is give him a ticket for reckless driving, put points on his license, and because he's going 90 and a 55, revoke his license at least for 6 months. At least. That's what should happen. But because of mercy, this cop said, no, I'm going to let him off with a warning. I know you won't do it again. Don't do it again. And let him off. It's interesting that that expert of the law says, the one who had mercy on him, going back to the text, the Samaritan man that had mercy on the man that was beaten up. Now, I find it interesting about Jesus' parable that Samaritan man didn't go up to the guy and say, hey, you know, why did you do this? This is, if you were traveling at night maybe, or you didn't have any guards with you. The Samaritan man didn't go and like grill him with questions, even though he's half dead, you know, lay on the side of the road. But that's sometimes we do that as individuals, don't we? We see someone that's been down on their luck. We see someone that's been down on life, or life's been our heart has been hitting them hard. And we're like, well, you made your bed, so you might as well sleep in it. You know? But that's not mercy. That's not mercy. And I love this story because it shows another principle. Because freedom can come from mercy. You realize that? Freedom can come from mercy. And you're like, well, Pastor Van, how does that actually work? I'm not quite following you how freedom comes from mercy. I mean, that's good, but I'm not quite sure how that works. Well, let me give you a really good example in the Bible. There was someone who took away all of our sin. That we were dead to rights in our sin, that we were destined for no relationship with him, destined to go to hell. And yet, this man called Jesus, who was known also as God, said, I will take that and show mercy to the whole world. Hallelujah. Amen? I will show mercy because this was something we could not fix. Folks, we couldn't fix that divide. We couldn't fix that relationship. We couldn't fix it on our own, permanently. Only Jesus could do that. And in his great mercy, he does that for us. And when we have great mercy, there comes great freedom. When you accept mercy, you're really accepting freedom into your life. This man in the parable had mercy extended to him and got better and was given freedom for that. Do we do the same is my question then today. Do we give mercy? And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to give mercy. Especially for people that have hurt us. people that have injured us and things like that. I'm not talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about mercy. Forgiveness is good. We need to do all that stuff as well. But I'm talking about mercy. Be like, okay, I'm actually going after this and say, it doesn't matter what they did. I'm applying mercy to that life. Applying mercy to that person. It's hard. I mean, if we want to look back at Jesus, he had every right not to be merciful, didn't he? Boy, he had every right. If I had been in Jesus' shoes after the cross, he went back and talked to his disciples after the cross. The ones that forsook him in his greatest time of need. The ones that ran out on him when he needed a buddy or a friend or someone to even pray with him. Can you imagine that? Wow. I know I can't. I would have been like, well, y'all forsook me in my greatest time of need. I'll see you guys later. Y'all weren't really, really good quality disciples anyways. I'll just find 12 more. I'll see you guys later. Y'all go fishing. Hope you don't catch anything. You know, that's what I would have done. Yeah, I mean, let's be real. In my greatest hour of need, they forsook him. But yet, God in his mercy said, no, I am not, even though they forsook me, I'm still going back there. And I'm going to extend mercy. Come on, somebody. Can we extend mercy? Can we do the same? So my questions today is this. Two things I want to go after. The first, is there an area in your life that you feel like you've been beat up, like on this journey, like the man was in the story, in the parable, beat up by life, robbed, left, and you're like, Lord, I just need a little mercy. I don't need to be grilled about what I should have done or how I should have done it, but I just need a little mercy, Father. And maybe it was someone that did it to you, maybe it was something else, a situation that happened, or something else that's going on, a situation at home or at work or with family or whatever else. And you're like, God, I just need some mercy. And I'm telling you today, he wants to extend that to you today. He wants to extend that mercy to you today. He wants you to grab hold of that mercy that he's going to give you today and have you turn it to freedom where you can live a life that's free of that stuff. The second thing I want to go after today is, can we give mercy to others? Now, mercy is something that they don't deserve because someone has wronged you. That's what mercy is. Can we give mercy to someone who doesn't deserve it in our eyes or even in our walk of life? Can we be like the Good Samaritan? Can we extend that mercy? And man, God's going to give you opportunity. God will give you opportunity to do this. But remember of the times that you needed mercy as well. I mean, I know for myself, I didn't come to Christ squeaky clean. I know I had some issues. I still have some issues. And it's okay. Because now I have a perfect standing with Christ. And I realize that and I walk in that. Now there are some decisions that come my way that I don't always make the best decision. I'll be the first to admit that. And if you don't believe me, I know it's hard to believe that. Van, Pastor Van, I thought you were perfect. Man, you look good all dressed down on a church picnic day. Man, you come out of the bathroom and smell like roses. I mean, that's just how it is, you know? No, that's definitely not true, because you can ask my wife and she'll tell you the truth. But can we show mercy? Can we show mercy? Especially the things that of people that have done us wrong and things like that. Can we do that? So right now, we're just gonna pray. And I want everyone to stand if you can. And we're going to go after that. Oh, good.
Can I share something?
Sure, go ahead.
So Pastor Van alluded to another biblical story, and I feel like the Lord just prompted me that there might be somebody that this applies to as well. So after the denial, after the resurrection, we know that he went after the disciples again. Remember, he showed up where they were fishing, and he was the one who reestablished relationship. Because Peter denied him. And the disciples said, okay, well, this isn't working. We're going to go fishing. Okay, like Pastor Van alluded to. But Jesus pursued the relationship. So I don't know if it's somebody online. I don't know if it's somebody here. But I felt in my spirit there was somebody that said, well, because of what I said or because of what I did, I'm not convinced that he still wants relationship. Mm. He's saying today he still wants relationship.
Amen.
So come back. And then the other miraculous thing he did, if you remember, and this was a repeat of a previous miracle, he said, hey guys, you didn't catch anything tonight either, like you didn't the last time. Throw your net in to the sea, and they pulled in this collection of fish. So the Lord, even when they thought they were out of relationship, still poured mercy and blessings on them.
Amen.
And I feel like there is also somebody or a group of people that said, well, I'm not doing this thing perfectly. Okay, so you admitted you weren't doing
it perfectly. No, I'm not.
I'm not doing it perfectly, but I'm not doing this perfectly, Lord, so I'm not expecting your blessing. Okay, let's break that lie. He wants to pour his blessings on you as part of his mercy. So receive those today.
Amen, amen. So can we do something then? So I would like us all to join hands together as a body. Can we do that? I know some of you are like, oh man, you got to hold somebody's hand? Oh no, it's so sad. Hey, if we're a family, we got to hold hands sooner or later. And who knows, we might get someone to bless the food afterwards. Amen. Well, let's go after this. Because I know I want to see this house go after the things of God. I want to motivate you. I want to encourage you. I want to be your biggest cheerleader along the way. Say, yes, God, do great things in this house, in these people, because they are wonderful. You've called them to a destiny and a purpose. They are deeply loved. They are totally accepted by you, Father. And I want to see them do great things. So, Lord, right now, as we come together, Lord, we ask, Father, that you would extend mercy to us today, if that was us. We ask, Father, that you would help us in our situation and what's going on, Father. We receive mercy this morning. And we break off every lie that we don't deserve it. We break off every lie that we can't have it. We break off every lie that it's not for us, it's for someone else. Lord, we just receive your mercy this morning, Father, for our own lives, for the things that have been stolen, for the things that's happened to us, oh God. We receive your mercy. And Father, right now, as we receive your mercy, Father, Lord, we thank you that we're going to be able to extend mercy with freedom as well now, Father. That we're going to be able to give out mercy, Father. And we're going to be able to give with that freedom for the people that we're going to meet, the people that we're going to encounter, whether it be a one-time deal or whether it be a weekly or daily occurrence or monthly occurrence, whether it be family, friends, job, school, church, whatever it is, Father, whatever circle of influence or area of influence it is, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we're going to extend mercy, Father. And with that mercy we're extending, we're extending freedom in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 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 One more thing I want to do before we close up, and I just want to give prayer for one thing that the Lord put on my heart. Does anyone have anything going on with their right leg above their knee, like a type of jittering, or it's something strange with their knee that hurts from time to time? Like, it's right above your right knee. It's like right in this area. I don't know if it's like nerves or something else that's going on or something like that. Does anyone have any problems with anything like that? Two? Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray for that right now, because that's something the Lord is showing me that he wants to touch. So Father, right now, we speak healing in the name of Jesus. Whatever is out of line, whatever is not being made whole, whatever is the cause or the root of the symptom, we speak the healing name of Jesus. We speak the blood that overwhelms sickness. We thank you, Father, that you didn't send sickness to teach us a lesson, but you sent Jesus to teach sickness a lesson, Father. We thank you right now for your overwhelming power and your overwhelming presence, Father, right now in those legs. Be made whole in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want you to test it if you can. Can you test it to see how it feels? Does it still hurt? Does it still feel the same way it did before? So can you give me some feedback here? What are we looking at? Does it feel the same? If it feels the same, it's fine. Is what?
I got a golf club to the leg.
Oh, jeez. Oh. Golfing is dangerous. It's true.
That's why I picked it up,
yeah. So how does it feel? From a scale of 1 to 10, before we start praying, what level was it at, would you say?
Maybe like a 1 or 2. But
okay.
It was a pretty nice whack.
Okay. Pretty good whack. Okay. So it feels better, not so good, same, feels better, okay. Frank, what about you?
Well, mine kind of comes and goes.
Comes and goes, okay.
So it's not there now.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Hopefully it won't come back.
Oh, amen, amen, we'll believe that. So yeah, amen. Well, let's thank Jesus for that. So let's just give him a hand clap, say thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for your healing touch. And we thank you, Lord, that you want to see healing in our lives. So as we dismiss here today, let me let Pastor Steve pray for the meal. So that way we got that all taken care of. So when you're ready, we can just go down there and eat. Wasn't that?